Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Tonight we got Joe on the phone. We have Fred on the phone. We're going to be talking about the past week in all major leagues in North America and Europe. We're going to be talking about Liverpool versus Arsenal. We're going to be talking about Joe's team, AC Milan, taking on Udinese. We're going to be talking about some of the major upsets throughout Europe as well. So-called upsets, I guess we'll say. And we're also talking a little bit about the TFC. But guys, as usual, you can get to our podcast from our website, footballweekly.com. That's football spelled F-U-T-B-O-L, weekly.com. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. We're on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts. We're everywhere. You can subscribe to our Instagram page, football_weekly_podcast. You can subscribe to our Twitter page, @football_weekly. Enough different ways you can get to us. If you want to tweet us and let us know how we're doing, if you want to tweet us and let us know what you want to hear, we'll take it into consideration and definitely try our best to get to it. But guys, lots to talk about. So sit back, relax, and get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast. We'll be back after this.
This is Emmanuel Zambazis of York 9 Football Club, and you're listening to the Football Weekly Podcast.
Greg Vanney is making it very easy. He's going to Home Depot, he's buying the wood, he's buying the hammer, and he's buying the nails for us. Just need someone to build the box. This past weekend in the MLS, TFC has a rivalry game against the Montreal Impact. It's a must win, guys.
It's a playoff game.
Well, if they want to keep the aspiration up, they should win. Yep,
100% must win.
That was a playoff game. Yep, for sure it was.
Now, lucky TFC, I would say. But anyways, regardless of the outcome, you would think going into a game like that, you want to have all guns blazing, all guns firing, even resting guys from practicing to make sure they're sharp and rested for that type of game, especially at home. And then you come out and you leave out arguably your best player for the first half of the game. I don't understand it. God, can someone explain it to me?
No, I can't. I don't think
there's an explanation to that, but unless he was injured, that's the only thing I can think.
Well, if he's injured, he doesn't play.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he comes on at 45 minutes. He comes at the second half. So, obviously, it's, oops, yeah. I made a mistake. Like, what did he make a mistake filling out the, did he fill out the game card?
Game sheet.
Yeah, I mean,
that happens?
It shouldn't happen, you know?
I mean, he's got to play. I mean, and then Pozuelo plays and makes, like you said, if you're going to, go down, you have to go down with your best players, especially the ones that, you've brought in, and then change things up a little bit, even without that, like without Pozuelo starting. There's other guys that he've moved around a little bit, but it was good to see Gallardo play. Looks a good player. But the Pozuelo thing, it's nothing but short of puzzling for me.
Head scratcher.
It was just ridiculous. I mean, I don't know. It's like as Logan would always say, the Mourinho mind games.
But there shouldn't be any mind games. If you're in first place, then you can start playing mind games.
At this stage of the game, of the season, and the positioning, I don't think this is the time for that at all.
Definitely not time for that.
Oh, and here's the thing: I think if you don't go down 1-0, does he still sit off the bench? So they go down 1-0, against the run of play. It was against the run of play. It was a cracker of a shot.
Look how far out that was, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, but again, hit like, but in terms of the play of TFC, if they played even well, even being down a goal, you know, I mean, more than a, that's a 6-pointer, if not more, right? Like they have to, yeah, have to win. You got to beat your rival. You have to beat your rival who's battling for a playoff spot with you, along with you, you know, so.
And you're at home.
Yeah. So they, I mean, in terms of their play, I think we would all agree that they're deserved 3 points. They think they, you know, it took them a little longer. It was a little harder than expected. We just mentioned and highlighted, you know, Greg Vanney did something really puzzling to leave out Pozuelo, but I mean, such is life this year with TFC. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, but you're doing it to yourself. Last year, it's not injuries or anything, or you get screwed by VAR or something like that. You're doing this to yourself.
Yeah, last year there was, you know, injuries. This year, no injuries. Like, not very significant ones, right? So,
I don't know. He's not giving the team the best chances of making the playoffs, even. Like, I don't know.
Well, I still think Delgado's goal was very lucky. It went through two players' legs, I think. I believe.
Well, let's make this very clear. Evan Bush,
was howler.
Shaky at best.
It's a howler and, for sure.
Yeah, and even in the other, like the other goal too. I mean, wow, and I mean, in a week where Max Kruppel, you know, ends up being in the team of the week in the MLS,
yeah,
and sets a record for most saves. And I believe he was at Montreal Impact, and somebody could throw something at me if they're not, if he wasn't. But, you know, in a week where that happens, you know, there's the Canadian who gets let go.
Yeah.
And, you know, kudos to, I know they've struggled, but they're kind of getting back at it. Kudos to Mark DeSantos, you know, the Canadian coach who's fielding a lot of Canadian players or Whitecaps. So, but, you know, I mean, the goalkeeping there for Montreal was shaky at best. And
like
you said, Reg, it was, you know, I think TFC gets lucky to get the result in terms of, because other games this year, they've played well and not got the result.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the luck went their way because they played well. I think it evened out. But as Fred has said it too, it was, you know, we got to give them, you know, you got to give your team the best chance to win. And I don't know. It's just, I don't know if this is the time to be tinkering. I mean, if you're in first place and you're like your second place, or you're cemented in the playoffs, right? And you're like Atlanta, or like TFC was a couple of years ago, when you're battling on so many fronts, you know, that you have to have control of the turnover of the squad and the rotation of the squad. But you know, your one goal, your singular goal, you're in one competition, you have to win. Okay, they're in the Canadian Championship final, but you know, they've been in that the last 5 years. They got to make the playoffs.
Have to.
You know, so I think they make it. I don't know what you guys.
Well, I think they make it too, but it's just I'm not going forward. I'm not a fortune teller. I don't know what's going to happen going forward. But just watching the past game and just seeing you're leaving your all-star on the bench, I don't get it. That's all I wanted to bring up. I just don't understand. Yeah.
I don't know. I think they're setting themselves up to make it look like down the stretch, every game will be a must-win game kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which shouldn't be the case. You know, they should just take the opportunity as it comes, so that when it comes down to the crunch time, at least you can maybe afford to relax and then ease yourself into the playoffs, and then it's a whole new tournament after that. You know what I mean?
And I still don't understand, because a lot of coaches are doing just exactly that. They're leaving players that they've brought in like to help the team on the bench for games, trying to get them blooded in. But he brought them in for a reason. And I know Joe will talk about this probably later on when we talk about Serie A and AC Milan. But you're bringing in all these new players to help your squad, and you're leaving them on the bench because they might not be –
Well, especially when you don't, right? Especially with your alternates, or your alternatives are not even close to what you're leaving off,
right?
Or leaving out of the squad. So,
right.
I mean, that's, like you said, that's a different story. I don't understand that, but you know, in terms of this too, like the MLS is near the crunch time of the season. I mean, every game is crunch time in Europe. I understand that, but you know, this is, you know, you're coming up to the end. Like you got to play these like finals, because they are like finals. And that game against Montreal was undoubtedly a final. I think we could all agree. Right. Yeah. So,
well, I don't understand it, but I mean, that's why those guys are getting paid the big bucks and we're doing a podcast, right? So,
yeah, I guess. Yeah. But I don't understand it either.
So. Yeah, so maybe someone can explain it to me or us. But anyways, well, the biggest game of the EPL season, I think.
To date,
for sure. So we went at, well, Arsenal versus Liverpool went into the game pretty confident that we wouldn't get smashed like we did last year when we went in there 5-1, we lost.
Yeah.
And I think the first, I guess, 30 minutes of the game, I think we didn't control the game per se, but I think we were more set up properly than we were last year. I think last year we went in there and we were just like, oh my God, like, let's try to play with them. And that's how we got smashed. And this year we went in and we had a game plan. It's just that, you know, we started our biggest asset in Pepe, who went one-on-one with one of the left back or right backs. I can't remember his name. And almost scored. So that goal goes in and it's a different game.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think it's a matter of Arsenal flopping and Arsenal, you know, not living up to it like maybe in the past. I really believe that it's truly just showing how strong Liverpool is. And the same thing could be said for Man City. So this is not a – like, Arsenal are getting there. I think that's the best as I could put it. They're getting there. And their new signings, you mentioned Pepe, but you know, obviously the key one is Ceballos and so on. Like, they're getting there. And this is Unai Emery's second year. Like, we have to understand that, right? And this is now Klopp's, whatever, you know, like fourth, fifth year with Liverpool. So you see that clear identity. Pep Guardiola, clear identity, Man City. It's coming into light for Arsenal. So to go into Anfield and to, you know, play, it's not a fact of, oh, there's Arsenal, you know, not getting it done. No, I think it's a matter of you go, you try to play, you do your best to contain and play a little bit of how you play in terms of Arsenal. But for Liverpool to do this, this does not set Arsenal back. How about that? You know,
that's fair.
Right, Fred, anything you get out of this game, if you got a point, wow. If you got three, fantastic. You end up losing the game. You didn't get embarrassed. You played a certain way. And you lost to a team that is, like we said, I mean, well, based on results of last year, the best team in Europe, meaning European champions, you know. So I don't think it's a bad thing. This is not me trying to just, you know, calm the waters of, you know, Arsenal fans. It's the truth. That's the way I look at it. But anyway, I don't know. You guys are, you know, obviously Arsenal supporters. What are your thoughts?
I agree, Joe. It's, you know, and Reg too, like, we did go in with a game plan, you know, and it's just at this point of the season, and I think Liverpool's quality just showed because they're still kind of carrying over from what they did last year.
No doubt.
And we have to kind of mesh in these new guys that we brought in to get, I guess, the Emery stamp onto the team to identify how we're gonna, you know what I mean? Because I was reading something, and I think since Van Dijk went to Liverpool, Pepe is the only person that has dribbled past him. You know what I mean?
Is that a real stat though?
No, it's not, but make it what you want, you know. Somebody is able to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, I'm just looking at some little things that we didn't have last year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, last year, we went in there and basically kind of like lay down and 5-1, there you are. This year, we went in there, okay, we can play with you guys, but the quality just showed that, you know, we're still not there yet. And, you know, it's early days, you know?
Well, it's like Joe said, Klopp has had this team probably for 3 seasons now.
Yep.
So the players are well drilled in what they need to do, what their role is on the team, where they need to be, who they need to pass to, whatever. It's a pretty much a new team here in Arsenal again for the second season. New coach last season, new players this season. It's going to take 2 or 3 seasons to beat Liverpool at Anfield, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, and even during the game, too, I heard the comment about, you know, none of the Arsenal players have won at Liverpool. And, you know, that also counts a bit, you know, because some of these EPL stadiums, if you haven't gone there to actually kind of win a game, it's pretty challenging to win there, you know what I mean? And Liverpool, Anfield is one of those places, you know, just like Molineux and St. James's Park, Old Trafford, and, you know, some of these other stadiums that are, like, really hard to win there, you know? So the players just need to kind of take it in stride and, you know, hopefully we can get them back and when we are at home and then we take it from there, you know what I mean? It has to be one step at a time, but I don't think we did bad at all. We went with the game plan, stuck with the game plan, and, you know, unfortunately, they got three past us, which was little bit of some silliness and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But well, what are you going to do, right?
Well, what are you going to do? For those of you that didn't know, the final score was 3-1. Torreira comes on and scores a late goal. And again, I don't know why Torreira's not playing and Xhaka is.
I don't know either.
Again,
I don't know either.
I don't know either.
I really think with – yeah, that's still to me – I mean, no, because Torreira, no, anyway, but I don't know.
The only thing I can think is because he played during the summer a little bit more than Xhaka did. You know what I mean? But then if you look at the Liverpool's – that's what I'm saying. If you look at Liverpool's front three, they all did, and they're all playing. You know what I mean? So,
you know,
Firmino did, Salah, Sané played.
Salah did, Mané did.
Oh, Mané, sorry, Mané.
Something went like awry here because, like, remember they were looking to sell Torreira, and they were listening to offers.
Well, I don't know how true that is, Joe.
Well, I think if they were getting 45 million for him, Reg,
yeah,
or some 50 would have been gone. But who knows? You know. Okay, I mean, I know you don't want to hear this one, Reg, but it was a Ronaldinho-like move in that game. Oof.
What's that?
There was a Ronaldinho-like move in that game.
Who, Willick?
No, Bobby Firmino.
Oh yeah. Come on.
No, you got to give credit, Reggie.
I think it deflected off. No, it deflected off the defender and went up, man.
No.
I have to see another angle.
Tried to be fancy.
It was beautiful. It was nice to watch. Listen, you just tip your hat. It's nothing.
Joe,
if it was,
they try that in our men's league, and I'm Joe, going through their legs the next time.
But Joe, let me ask you this: like, what do you think with Luis pulling that shirt? Like, you know what I mean? I know that's David Luiz's style of play. Sometimes
that's stupid. That's like, stupid.
It looked offside to me.
That was stupid. Like, I'm with Fred. Like, that's so stupid, Reg.
It is.
David Luiz.
It is.
He's helped. Because he helps you get out and it allows the team to play higher. Like, you know, I understand that.
Oh,
but that's
man.
So stupid. Like, I have nothing else to say about
the center
back. I don't know, Reggie.
I don't think it was, but you know.
Like Fred is saying, like, why would you?
If you didn't pull that shirt and maybe, you know,
just
who knows?
To step with him, you know? Like,
you know, it would have been a whole different ball game because after 2-0 down, it was just like, you know. The pace dropped, but you know they were trying their best to keep it up, and it wasn't working.
Yeah, well, I mean, on to the next one, Tottenham on Sunday, so that's going to be a pretty big.
Well, there you go, and so we just
so okay, it was
four. Him, we said, you know, the Liverpool Arsenal game, biggest game to date in EPL.
Yeah,
well, and again, this one is the biggest game
right?
in the. EPL. So
today
it's
yes.
right off the yeah, and here you go again.
Right.
Huge match, North London Derby. But more than that, you know, there's one team that needs that win more than the other, and it's, you know, it's Tottenham. So this is
yeah,
it's a big game. It's a big game for both. I think
both
sets of fans, both sets of players, both sets of coaches know what this game means in retrospect to the North London Derby. So. Should be a cracker. They always are. Last year at the Emirates, it was a 4-2 win for Arsenal, and lots of extracurricular activities during the game. So it was a fun game to watch. So hopefully we'll get the same type of atmosphere this year, this Sunday.
Yeah,
I'm calling a tie.
Okay.
No.
Every time it's a tie.
Come on, Joe.
Every time.
I don't know. I don't think Spurs players are in a good place right now, especially after that loss with Newcastle. Like, the quality is there, but I don't think they have the togetherness they had last year. I think they lost last weekend, and we'll see. We'll see what happens Sunday.
What's it going to be? What's the game going to be now? I'm saying 4-2. Tie. You guys are saying
4-2.
Come on, Joe.
4-2.
We're going to win, Joe. We're going to win.
Same score 2-1. Line.
2-1.
Same score line as last year, 4-2. As long as Jacques
is. 2-1 for us.
So speaking of upsets, Newcastle and Tottenham game, which Tottenham lost 1-0. There was a bunch of upsets this week in the EPL.
Desperate times. Big win for Steve Bruce in Newcastle. That's a huge one.
Yep.
Do we think that the United Crystal Palace, well, the United's loss to Crystal Palace, is an upset? Do we think that's an upset?
If you're United fan, yeah.
Well. Sure, but there's no United fans here. Do we really think that's an upset?
I think the way it happened again. So penalty controversy, not in the awarding of it, but the missing of the penalty. So last week we had Pogba, all the nonsense behind the reaction. We talked about that last week. But this week, Marcus Rashford steps up. I mean, unluckily, smashes the post. And again, penalty missed. And then...
What was the reaction? Was there any reaction this week?
No.
Mm. Well, I mean,
and that's what I was saying last week, right? Zaha also turned it up in that game. He did some pretty crazy things. Like, he was taking players on and basically making things happen for his team. So I just think it was one of those games that United's players kind of probably thought they had it in a bag. And Crystal Palace just basically said, we're going to take it away, like out of your hands kind of thing. You know what I mean? I think that's why they lost, pretty much.
Key moment in the match? It was a moment. I mean, I believe Pogba lost the ball, leading to the winning goal, Van Aanholt. Mm-hmm. So, again, pretty big moment. And again, the way that they lost, like, this is... Believe me, I look at teams and we talk about a culture change for the good. And we talk about Spurs, we talk about Arsenal having maybe a little bit on the up, side in terms of that. But you look at Manchester United, this is a culture of, downhill, if you will, slide. And I say that because I look at the culture of, AC Milan too. And it's like, here we go again. And Manchester United seem to have this here we go again kind of thing. The difference is they have the money to spend and they have this, but it just seems that if there's a way where United will find, to lose, United is finding this way,
mm-hmm.
and just when you think, oh, they have a great result, they smashed, Chelsea first week and then there they go. So I don't know, like Reg, Freda, this, I just, like I said it earlier, when we had our predictions a few weeks back, at fifth, sixth, at best, right now, if you would ask me.
100%.
It's a clear top two, and then it's Arsenal, Spurs, Chelsea United, and that, and again, I think that the battle is for third and second, so I don't know. I just look at United, and where is it going to come from? Lukaku leaves, and talking about, he's letting it fly and saying, we were made scapegoats, and it's a toxic environment and this and that. And so it's like, wow,
Yep.
Well,
and saying that, guys, today, I think it's going to be confirmed tomorrow that Alexis Sanchez will be going to Inter. So I don't know, guys. Upset? I don't know. Is it an upset anymore? Sad to say, because maybe the way they lost, but, yes, it's still United. They hold that mystique. But I don't know, guys.
I don't think they have the quality up and down the lineup to compete with teams as they did. I'm not going to go back to Sir Alex days, but even under Mourinho, they don't have they don't have that quality to compete.
Yeah, comparatively, again, Liverpool and City, but I even look
City will smash them when they play them.
I just look at midfield and the midfield reinforcements that Arsenal has put up. And then you're like, wow, I mean, that's like, you know what they've put forward now, and Arsenal's front three are, oof, you know, like Aubameyang. I mean, Aubameyang just quietly just racks up goals.
Well, if we ever get to see the front three at Arsenal, another coach, Unai Emery, who's not played the preferred top three striking options at the same time.
Yeah, and to go back to, you're right, but going back to United, what has happened to Jesse Lingard?
Well, Jesse Lingard has been found out.
Is Jesse Lingard and Dele Alli the same guy? Meaning they've had – no, I'm saying –
one's worse than
the
other. I'll let you choose.
Well, no, but you, I mean, I know you guys, your biases, but
– No. I'm going to tell you Lingard's worse.
Yeah, both of them are, you know, had really hot starts to their careers and very promising. I'm not writing them off, but have they not – parallel themselves with, you know, they're not assisting goals, they're not creating goals, they're not scoring goals. Well, you know, like, I don't know.
Joe, we talked about this before the show started, and I asked you a question, I asked you and Fred a question, and I think, and I honestly think it's the English media that puts this this notion into your mind that all these players are Ronaldinho, Pele, Maradona, Messi wrapped into one. Like we look at Jordan Henderson, and I mentioned this as my example. Jordan Henderson is doing normal midfielder things. But if you talk to the English media, he's Deschamps out there. I don't get it.
Yeah, well, you know, there might be truth to that, but I think they're looking in the wrong, let's say, behind the wrong door.
Well, who are they going to look at then? There's no other young, brilliant English that could be brilliant English player out there, though.
Yeah, I beg to differ, Reg. I'd look at Jordan Sancho at Borussia Dortmund.
Okay.
Jadon Sancho. And he's been fantastic.
But out of sight, out of mind. No one talks about him here because he's not in the EPL.
And I think it's a shame because I think that kid, I watch him a lot with Borussia, and he's fantastic. Mm-hmm. He's electric. You know, to be fair, you know, Mount looks a good player. He really does. I mean, I don't got to tell you the boy at Man City, you know, I mean, they should be putting it there, you know, Foden and stuff like that. Like there are players that I think deserve that credit as young England, because to be fair, look, you know, England had a lot of success with the national teams, you know, their young guys did a good job at the World Cup, but I think it's those guys that need to be highlighted. And the Dele Allis and Lingards, I'm going to tell you, I don't think they're going to find their way in the team with these other young lads doing so well with the English. You know,
I think what it is too is, you know, is the big team factor, right? They're like the one of the top six, let's say, whatever team in Europe. Sure. So then, like in England too, and their name get put out there a lot. So then, I don't know if they let it get to their head, but everything is under the microscope. So, you know, if you don't come through, then you're being made out. Then
for sure,
that's what it is, right?
But I just think that it's the wrong ones that they're looking at. You know, look at Tammy Abraham this week, you know, breaks out, scores a couple of goals. So I think it's what Fred says is bang on. It's where they're at. It's when they're at these top big teams. I mean, yes, these guys are Chelsea. Phil Foden's I'm getting the name wrong, guys. Can someone help me out?
That's right.
Okay,
Phil Foden, I think his name is.
Phil Foden, there you go, at Manchester City. So it's the wrong guys. And again, you got guys like Dele Alli and Lingard who had success early, and it seemed like.
But if we're going to give these kids success early, you're saying Lingard and Dele Alli.
Here's what I was going to say, though. Okay. Sorry, Reg. I was just going to finish and say that I think, you know, it's the age-old thing with them. It's the new age thing. Sorry. Is that, you know, they got caught up with, you know, the life, you know, and Lingard dancing up a storm. And I'm all for that. I love the fun of it. I love it. I mean, and this is not us being old fogies. I mean, Bebeto and Romario, you know, doing the cradle and stuff. Yeah. And Ronaldinho, who we always pick. Samba. I love that.
Samba King.
Samba, yeah. Like and again, emulated by other teams, but the Brazilians were. I mean, that's what they had fun playing. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful game. Of course, we love it. We enjoy it. But you know, you still got to do the business.
Right. Yeah, they're gonna learn how to balance that with, you know.
That's right. And have Dele Alli and Jesse Lingard. What have they done since those early days? You know, they were supposed to be like United pinned their hopes on a guy like Lingard. Well, as one of their next generation.
Has United or the English FA, and I'm talking about the national team, have they let these players down? Has their development stopped because of those two entities?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm with Fred.
No? You just think it was too much given?
You know what, guys? I look at again, these other guys. Well, no. I mean, like, you know, they're in these frameworks and in these big clubs, and it's expected that you have to, like, there's got to be some responsibility on the player too, Reg.
Of course.
Well, yeah. No, in Dele Alli's situation, I think with him is the injuries that is doing him wrong right now. You know what I mean? Because he was kind of good.
That's fair, Fred.
You know, he was kind of good. Then he started picking up these injuries and he come back and it looks like they forced him back. I'm just afraid he's not going to be another like a Wilshere situation. You know what I mean? Another talent going to waste because of injury. Because when he's not really hurt, take away the off the field stuff, he put in a shift. You know what I mean? The last year and stuff, the injuries I think hasn't helped him to, you know. Lingard, I don't know what's going on there. But in terms of Dele Alli, I think the injuries is contributing to what's happening to him right now.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. So, anyways, I don't know.
Well,
we'll see.
We could talk about that forever, and I just wanted to mention that.
Well, we weren't supposed to, but
yeah, I know that was just.
I think that's a worthwhile. But you know, I guess you know that's what we do. And
well, I want to. I don't want to end this just yet. I want to ask one last question about this. Now we talked about Dele Alli and Lingard being given stuff when they were really, really young. Do we not see the same type of progression that's going to happen with the guys that we mentioned, Tammy Abraham, Phil Foden, all those guys that are coming up now? Are we not going to see that maybe it's a little too much given to them because they're now going to have to be part of the English makeup?
Yeah.
I know it's crazy to say, but they're going to be part of the English makeup now. Guys are getting older. You know, guys are being played a little bit more familiar with other players. So do we not think that the same thing that happened to Dele Alli and Jesse Lingard is going to happen to the new crop of English players coming up? It's the same pressures they're going to be under because every World Cup, every Euro, they're supposed to win it. It's coming home, right?
But
at those under 17, U20 World Cups, you know.
Those World Cups are totally different from the
you're right, but I just think that I agree with that, but they have some presence on the big stage, I guess. I don't know.
No, I think, and this is part of some of the player responsibility has to come in too. Like take somebody for, I don't know if he's the one who seeked him out or Ian Wright is the one who's actually kind of buddying him up with himself, but it looks like he's putting Eddie Nketiah under his wing to try to mentor him to go through the process because he was at Leeds watching his first game there, and I seen him on Twitter going crazy about, oh, this is my guy, and, you know, arms around the neck and stuff. And I'm like, so I think maybe some of these senior players that are now behind the scenes should try and maybe partner up with some of these kids and, you know, help them through some of these.
That's Ian Wright, though, right?
Yep.
Yeah, but it's Arsenal.
Well, I understand.
If he was a Spurs player, he wouldn't be doing that.
I know, but I'm sure Spurs also has some players that, you know, some of these young guys can look to say, hey, you know, this is whatever right now, but, you know, do this, do that. And, you know, because that's the only way I can see some of these young guys not feeling some of the pressures that they get put under, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, so anyways, I don't know.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see going forward. It's like we said, again, every beginning of every podcast or every season that we start here, it's still early. Yeah.
It is.
So we'll see what happens with these kids. Maybe with the likes of, you know, we always say that when big players leave teams, that gives an opportunity for someone else. So maybe Sanchez leaving, Lukaku leaving will give more emphasis for Jesse Lingard to take the team by the scruff of the neck and, you know, do whatever he needs to do to show us that he is that guy. But I don't know. So far, I haven't seen it. Anyways, Joe, your league started this weekend.
Well, Juventus wins again. Yeah. The one goal, but it wasn't from, you think it is, from Giorgio Chiellini, actually. So
yeah, from the back. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. The match of the week was, for me, fantastic. Fiorentina and 4-3 Napoli over Fiorentina in a goal fest. Controversy here. Belgian international Dries Mertens, to say he embellished and won a PK is putting it mildly.
Did VAR catch it, or did the referee
This is the shocking thing. Uh-oh. How does VAR not overturn it?
Oh, wow. Did they go to VAR?
You know, yeah. And then they didn't even, like, I don't understand this. We've done that to death. But anyway, 4-3, Napoli does find a way. Napoli having more good news this week for them today, yesterday. Irving Chucky Lozano from, I believe, PSV, but Mexican International.
Yep.
He is now part of Napoli. He's with them. So they're obviously going for something here as is Inter, hopefully going to give Juventus a legitimate challenge. We mentioned Inter. Antonio Conte starts his regime era at Inter with a 4-0 convincing win. Goes to his traditional 3-5-2. Team is fired up. Lukaku scores on his debut. Kondreva scores about 35 yards out. I mean, Antonio Conte just, you know, passionate as ever. I mean, I know it's early days, but there they are. And then, of course, we had Genoa and Roma in another goal fest, 3-3. Again, Roma's attack is really exciting. Unfortunately, in the back, shares little to be desired. Of course, them losing Manolas is big.
Yep.
And then we have AC Milan. Always knew it was going to be a tricky test to go to Udine and play against Udinese. And, you know, a team that they have, Rodrigo De Paul is a player who I believe should be making a move soon. He started with Argentina in the Copa America. And anyhow, so we talked about this earlier, about coaches not playing their new signings. Mm-hmm. And again, with AC Milan, the team is like not deep at all. So the new signings, and, you know, one of them was this man, Benasser, the player of the tournament at the Africa Cup of Nations for Algeria, which they won, and he starts on the bench. You know, and then there's the Portuguese international from Leao, again, starts on the bench. And it's like, I don't get it. And they came on and actually gave a bit of life, but overall, a deserved 3 points, 1-0 win for Udinese. They were by far the better team. Good for them. Milan did not even register a shot on net. I mean, it was a pathetic performance. Yes, the coach, Marco Giampaolo, needs some time. I understand that. He came out and took full credit and said, like, this is on me and then we have to figure this out. And, you know, I understand that. But as a Milan fan, this is now 6-7 years of this. I mean, it's early days, but, you know, we talked about that. I talked about that with Manchester United. It just seems like, you know, what will go wrong will go wrong. That Murphy's Law thing. So, you know, we'll see. But
Maldini has come out and said that they're going to fix it, right?
Slow burn. Yeah, he said Maldini and Boban, who are, of course, Milan legends. And, of course, Paolo Maldini is Milan. And said, you know, we're going to do our best to fix this. And you know, their directors came out and said, listen, we get it. But we are not who we used to be, and we cannot spend the money that we used to, like, Real Madrid, let's say, because we are not Real Madrid anymore.
Welcome to the Gazetas world. Put up with that nonsense for so long. Now look, he's gone, and we're spending money like it's nothing. No, that doesn't make sense. But I mean, again, it's the past that they have to try to fix, right? So it is going to take some time. It is going to take some time to fix.
And it's got to be. It's like, you know, I equate it to, you know, you're trying to. You have to fix that foundation, and no matter how much you want to keep rebuilding on that house, if you don't fix that foundation, exactly. I know I sound, and it's true. So, you know, but what are we looking forward to as a Serie A fan? For me, like I said, a legitimate race. I think this year might be the year with Juventus. Obviously, you would imagine their number one concern would be Champions League, but Napoli and Inter both have got, well, I mean, you got Antonio Conte and Carlo Ancelotti, but both teams have the squad to compete, I believe, domestically. And I think the real race here will be for fourth. And I think Lazio had a very convincing win. It looks very, very good. I think the coach, who gets really, really underrated in Europe for sure, but in Italy, he's getting a little bit more recognition, is Filippo Inzaghi's brother, Simone Inzaghi. He's a good manager, very good. He was in the hunt for a lot of big jobs. And he does a great job, good tactically, you know, gives them the team the right fighting spirit. So that'll be interesting to see. I think that race for those three and four spots. So, I mean, you have Frank Ribery now playing at Fiorentina. You know, and their project seems, wow. I mean, they look ahead of the game in terms of other things. They have, you know, Chiesa, Federico Chiesa, who they might sell, keep, Bruno. But anyhow, it's looking, it was a good first week. Finally get on, you know, they've gotten going. And I believe we have a pretty big matchup this weekend in Serie A.
Who's that?
I believe we have Juventus. It's going to be – I just want to make sure that that's the game. Is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's looking at
okay.
It.
Yeah, so right off the bat, like, so in terms of big matchups, we talked about, obviously, the North London Derby, which is the top of it. We have Juventus and Napoli, too. So big matchups, big games. And again, in Serie A, hopefully we see a great match between Juventus and Napoli. I know, you know, if you're Inter right away, you're hoping for a tie. So anyway, it starts early. So that's it. So hopefully we continue to get some excitement. I know that the first week was exciting, and hopefully it continues.
We have about 5 minutes left. Do you want to talk about La Liga, or do we want to talk about the transfer saga that's still going on, that's looking pretty close to being finished between PSG and Barcelona, with Neymar going almost back?
Well, that's La Liga all right there, no?
Isn't it? You know, I'm sick and tired of Neymar's saga. You're right, Reg. Aren't you guys sick of this? Thiago Silva said it best. Then he's like, he's sick of it too. It's like, what's happening? Like, you know, he's saying that they need him and so on. It's like, anyway, we talked about this last week. You guys, I'm done with them. I'm done with Neymar.
Let's talk about the highlights of La Liga, with Griezmann coming to
step in,
scoring two goals. Like, two, you know, goals, because. Yeah. When he made the move, everybody was kind of questioning it. And, you know, it looks like he's proving the haters wrong by, you know, stepping up and putting two at the back of the net. And, at the time, I think
they lose in week one, like we said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they were down 1-0, I believe.
Yeah,
right,
they were. Fakir scored first.
And then, you know,
Fakir, that's right. So.
Well,
so
they're sitting in ninth place right now. We have Sevilla top with Atletico and Real Madrid following closely behind them. But we know that's going to change, right? So,
early days, for sure.
Yeah, again, early days, right? So Atletico look pretty good as well.
They do. Yeah, they look pretty solid, don't they?
Yeah, the Portuguese kid, Joao Felix, looks like he's going to be a player.
He is tremendous. Yep. Oh, my. And he has some star quality. I tell you, the Portuguese team, some young stars. Ronaldo. I mean, of course.
Young guys coming through the Portuguese team, they're going to be something to watch for the next little while. Because
I believe that's true. Yeah, for sure.
They're pretty good. Every club, every league that have a young Portuguese player in, they're always lighting up the storm there.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, Euros and World Cup should be very interesting going forward with Joe's young English team that is coming up, and the Portuguese national team as well. So all right, so that's fine. Yeah, we'll close it off here. So guys, parting shots. What do you got going on this weekend? What's the biggest thing you're going to see this weekend, Fred?
Not London Derby, of course.
Of course.
Sunday. This guy that I met up here, my center back partner, is a Spurs fan. We're going to watch it together.
Oh my God.
Don't let him drive, because after he's going to be drinking a lot during that game. So don't let him drive.
I know, right? No, we're going to meet up at a pub here and try and catch the game, and we'll see what happens.
Excellent. Joe?
Yeah.
Well, again, like you guys, I won't be as nervous during the North London Derby, but I'll be looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
And for sure. And of course, I mentioned Juventus Napoli. TFC's got a big game too, but for me, it's North London Derby for sure, of course, and of course Juventus Napoli, and I mean, hopefully I don't have to cry again for my team, but yeah, those two big games for sure for me.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to the North London Derby, and actually, I will watch that Napoli-Juventus game, so looking forward to that as well, too. So guys, as usual, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.